This is episode number 5 with Redbird forward Alex Gagnon. Welcome to the two tickets segment on the Friends of McGill Hockey Podcast. My name is Quinn Sertic, former McGill hockey player from 2017 to 2021, and the host of this segment. Bi-weekly, I'll be interviewing either a player on this year's roster or a recent McGill alumni with the intention of helping you stay connected to this year's team. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Two Tickets segment on the Friends of McGill Hockey Podcast. First, before we get into the interview, I'd like to make some acknowledgments about my former teammates that I had the privilege of playing with. So first, we have my old roommate from the infamous 4055, goaltender Louis-Philippe Guindon, who played at McGill from 2016 to 2020. LP made his AHL debut for the Laval Rockets, stopping all 9 shots he faced in relief Friday night. The next evening, LP got the nod to get his first career start in the AHL, in which he steered aside 26 of 28 shots from the opposition in a 3-2 victory over the Texas Stars. This was LP's first career win in the AHL, so huge shout out to you for this major accomplishment. And actually, a funny story I have about LP and the goalie he faced off against in his first career start, Anton Khudobin, was that about 2 years ago, we're chilling on the couch at 4055 watching the Stanley Cup Final, Tampa Bay versus Dallas, and actually Anton Khudobin is the starting goalie for the Dallas Stars. So fast forward 2 years later, here LP is, spent some time in the East Coast Hockey League, now making his AHL debut, and the goalie he's facing off against is someone he was watching 2 years ago on the couch playing the NHL Stanley Cup Final. So pretty cool to get his first career start and win against this goaltender, which probably makes it even more special for him. So again, huge shout out to you and well done representing McGill with pride. The second acknowledgement I'd like to make goes out to one of my good friends that I played with here at McGill, Ryan Penny. Last episode, I chirped him for his -2 stat line and no points when his team, the Coventry Blaze, won 8-3 over the Fife Flyers in the EIHL. Well, sure enough, 2 games later, Ryan shut me up as he scored 4 goals in 1 game against the same team. So congrats goes out to Ryan. And if you're listening, Ryan, just please tell your roommate, Nathaniel Halbert, to minimize the icings to 3 a game. We all know, based on Halby's experience at McGill, he sure loved to ice the puck, I think with a passion at some point. So just let him know that these are 2 guys for reference. They were roommates at the 456 at McGill, and now they're roommates in England playing in the EIHL, having a blast over there. So huge shout out goes to those two, having a great time playing the game they love, and again, representing McGill. Now, before we get into the interview, please take a second to click the subscribe button over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to stay up to date to this year's McGill men's hockey team. As of right now, the season is still postponed, but they're looking at a date of February 9th to resume the regular season and then jump into playoffs. For playoffs, I'm not sure if it's a 1-game or 3-game series, so all the details will follow in the upcoming weeks, but for now, that's where the season stands. I think the guys are practicing again this week at McConnell Arena, but for the time being, no games till February 9th. So without further ado, let's jump into the interview with number 15 forward, Alex Gagnon. All right, our guest today is from Gatineau, Quebec, and currently in his second year at McGill, majoring in physical education. Before joining the Redbirds, he played junior AAA, where he was the captain of the Côte d'Azur Everest. And so far this season, he's tallied 1 goal and 2 assists through 12 games. He's also the team's reigning beep test champion. Welcome to the Two Tickets podcast, number 15, Alex Gagnon.
Yes, thanks a lot for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So speaking of beep tests, what was the score you ended up getting in fitness testing?
Yeah, so I got 15.3.
Oh my actually. God.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But we didn't do the bike test before this year.
Oh, you didn't do, what was it, the Wingate?
The Wingate, exactly. Yeah. Because we did the fitness test at the Curie Gym instead of the Olympic Stadium, I think.
Yeah, it was in the Olympic Stadium. We always do the fitness testing, and something we have in common is back in my first year, I won the beep test. I was a skinny little pole, so I was like, the only thing I could make myself you know, stand out was the beep test. I was like, okay, I need to win this and I'm going to give it my all. So maybe you had the same kind of mindset, or was it, did you grow up playing a lot of sports where you were naturally just talented at running, or what was it for you that...
Yeah, I mean, I always loved running. So I played soccer when I was young. When I was like really young, my dad used to register me and my brother in some of the like races, 2 kilometers races in Quebec City and a couple ones in Gatineau too, but it was never a big deal running. Like, I just loved running. But like you said, for me, coming from junior to Pro A too, it was a time to make like a statement. Like, yeah, you know, you're there, you wanna perform, like you can control that. So I trained really hard. I was ready for that beat test.
Yeah. Did you have insight from guys on the team before that there was gonna be the beep test happening, or so did you train for it, like actually practice it in the summer, or was it just I'm gonna go for runs and get in the best cardio shape?
Yeah, it was. I practiced like 2 times before.
What did you get on the practice?
I got 13 point ish.
Okay.
Never got to 15.
No,
like 15
no.
was really good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and yeah, I was really happy about it, but I worked out hard during the summer. I was like overall in shape.
Yeah.
So that was the bigger part. But yeah, I knew that was going to be a beep test. Talk with guys like the vets, like Sam told me. I knew Sam would be good too.
Sam's good. He's very fast.
He's in shape.
He's in good shape.
Warmy did well. Warmy actually beat me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he did 15.6.
So you weren't the champion. So
I mean, okay, wait. This year we had 3 waves.
Okay.
Because of the COVID thing, mm-hmm. we couldn't do like the whole team together. So I was in the first wave, got 15.3, like by my own. And then Warmy knew my score, like all the boys talked about it. And he was with Sam in the last wave, the third wave. And they like had a good battle till the end. Warmy ended up at 15.6, but I told him like, if I was gonna be like beside him, I would have won that for sure.
Yeah, that's that mindset of having someone behind you. And you see even in a race, like a 400-meter race, right? Or a 800-meter race. And when I used to run track and field, is the guy that was leading is never the person that like won. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's because the like mentally, you see the person ahead of you, you're going to catch him. You have that extra gear. So for him and his mindset is thinking, okay, he's at 15.2. I got to get to 15.2. But you're exactly. starting in the first group. So you're like, okay, this is going to be good. But just he knows where to get to, right? So that's something that's kind of interesting. But that's pretty impressive. You guys had a fast team this year. And then now, I guess, fast forward to we're in January. We had the COVID hiatus and we're back now. What's it like to be on the ice with the guys back again and starting that up after a little bit of a break due to the protocols and whatnot?
Yeah, no, it feels good for sure. It was weird having a long break like that. We didn't know when we're gonna be back at it or if we're gonna play again after Christmas. So it was weird for a bit, but now that we're back together, we had a couple good practices at the ODR, like we're talking about. So that was fun. You know how it is. It's so fun to be with the boys, with your teammates. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be back playing games soon.
Yeah.
We'll see. For now, it's not official. Hopefully it's going to be on February 9th.
Okay.
And starting Monday, we're allowed to practice as a full team.
Mm-hmm.
With strict protocols, like at the rink.
Mask, all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. How it was at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So,
but I'm sure I know if you guys were allowed to practice at McConnell Arena, it had to be one guy on each side, right? And mm-hmm. then you're kind of just playing with the puck alone. You know, there's only so much you can do, right? Like work on your skills. So it must have been nice to go on the ODR, play with the guys. It probably brings you back to your childhood. I don't know if you had an outdoor rink in your backyard, but growing up, you know, you're just outside and you're playing it for fun. You know, it's not like that's what I feel you guys look like when I walked by the other day.
No, for sure. And it's a unique experience. You know, it's not going to happen again during a normal season to have a practice outside with all your teammates, like the full team. So that was nice. And you talked about having an outdoor rink. I actually had the chance to have an outdoor rink in my backyard when I was young. Mm-hmm. So I had a like really good, I have a really good memories there with my playing with my brother. My dad used to go at midnight, you know, make sure we have a fresh ice for the next day.
Yeah.
So yeah, it brings back a lot of good memories for sure.
Yeah, I had a plan too to talk about your brother. And so what year are you born? You're 99 and he's 2001?
Yes, exactly. Okay,
so yeah, you're 2 years difference. And another one of the similarities is between us, I mean, we both came from junior A. We didn't play major junior. I mean, you played one game, but... and then I have a younger brother too, who's exactly two years younger. He wasn't as good as your younger brother, but just the battles growing up, playing mini sticks, playing, you know, on the outdoor rink, there's always one kid's crying, you know, maybe talk about that and how it probably sparked your competitive edge growing up, right? Like, I feel everyone that has a younger brother just is has someone like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you're in the same situation, you know, how it is. And we grew up together. Like, he's, like you said, he's playing in the Rouyn-Noranda right now, mm-hmm. being the captain in the QMJHL. So he always, like, he was good, even if he was 2 years younger than me. So we had a good competition, good battles out there, playing mini hockey and just every sport. Like, we used to play basketball in our at our place. So yeah, it was really fun. I think like, it's a privilege to have a brother that share the same passion with you. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. And he's actually coming next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's coming to McGill next
year. Has he announced it yet? Or is this going to be hot off the press? Everyone's going to put out the memo.
I think it's fine. Yeah, you just... you talk with Eric with PDH too.
I talked to a lot of the guys that knew that he was coming, but I didn't want to announce it unless you brought it up, right?
Yeah.
So, no, it's but that's fine. Exciting. And he's in Rouen now. And I bet you had some influence on him coming to the team.
Yeah, I just, you know, had some good words from McGill, but he's a really good student too. He's going to look to have maybe like a pro camp, have some experience because he's a pretty good player too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a good student. He was the finalist for the Marcel Trophy, Marcel Robert Trophy for the Scholastic Player in the QMJHL last year. Yeah, three finalists and didn't win. But he won when he was major AAA. I played with him. He was 15 and he won the Scholastic Player of the major AAA league. So yeah, he's a really good student. And I'm really looking forward to having him with us next year for sure.
Yeah, that's exciting. You get an opportunity. Have you been able to play on a team with your brother or because the age gap, maybe it didn't work out? I know probably not minor hockey, but is this your first opportunity?
No, we played Midget AAA together. So yeah, I played Midget Espoir at 15.
Okay.
Then I played Midget AAA at 16. And the year after, my year of 17, and he did the team major to play at 15. So I decided to go back, had a big role at 17. I was the captain. He was like a rookie.
Yeah. So you're telling him what to do. You were his vet. You were his mentor.
Yeah, I was his mentor, but he did his way and it was, but that was our only opportunity to play together. Cause after that, he played major junior.
Yeah.
I didn't end up playing major junior, like you said. Like I did my own things. Played the
junior AAA. Right?
Junior AAA at 20. Before that, I was in the like the Cégep League.
Okay.
It's called Collégial 3 in Quebec. With the RSEQ. Mm-hmm. Had a really good time there playing in Quebec City. I have some good friends. Stayed in Quebec City. Love the city. Like an absolutely beautiful beautiful place. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you mentioned too, you came from junior AAA and I did too. And I felt like when I came to the team, the entire team came from major junior. And, you know, you have Keanu Yamamoto who put up 70 points in the WHL and Kramer Rosa who, you know, was a top recruit, right? So all these guys are like, oh, we have 22 forwards coming in. How the hell am I going to play, you know? Exactly. How am I going to get a spot? And I always appreciated from Nobzy and Irk when he was assistant coaches. They didn't care what your background was. Like, whatever you did on the ice when you got your opportunities. And I see that in you. You know, you play penalty kill you're kind of just all over the place, right? Like, you bring a lot of energy. And it's exciting to see that you kind of have a similar story where you came from this. And then now you're here playing pretty much every day in the lineup. So it's exciting and it's great to see. Were you ever intimidated by other guys on the team because of where they came from, would you say, or how was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you're from junior AAA, like junior A.
Yeah, it's the same.
Junior A league. So I was not intimidating, but I didn't know what to expect in terms of, you know, ice time and what my role is gonna look like, and just being around the boys, like you said, like Keanu Yamamoto, coming out the last year, my first year, I didn't know, like, you know, you don't wanna be too loud in the room with the boys, like you just wanna do your own things and earn respect. And but I think the whole culture at McGill is pretty good with that. Like you talk about Nobzy and Irk, and I think it's also like all the boys around that, like, just you were a vet my first year, and all the other guys too, like they make you feel like you're one of the boys, like it doesn't matter where you're from or what league you played in before, you just, now you're there, you do your best, and that's how like you earn respect doing your things, I think.
Mm-hmm. And another thing too for me is I was so concerned with McGill that, oh, you know, there's going to be a lot of French guys on the team. I don't speak French. Well, how is that going to affect that? They're never going to talk to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, some guys maybe talk to less, but for sure, like, that was something I looked into. So for you, is French your first language? And was that an adjustment for you coming into the team? I mean, your English is very well spoken, but how was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, that was for sure a thing, like coming up, I was not the best in English. I want to keep improving and keep getting better because I'm not that a good level yet, but I'm way better than I was last year, so that's good. Like I'm improving, and I want to be a guy who talk to everyone.
Exactly.
Even like the English guys, I want to be friends with them. And right now, it's really good in our team. Like, all the boys are together for the, you know, at the rink or even outside the rink too. So it's a lot of fun, and I really try to learn from all the boys. So for that, I want to be with everyone, talk to everyone. And but yeah, for sure it was part of my decision coming to McGill too. I knew it was going to be hard at first, but it's, you know, it's a good skill to have, to be able to speak two languages.
Yeah, especially it's English, a great
like,
skill.
Like to travel, to play hockey after, to have like a good job.
It opens the door a lot of opportunities that you don't even realize just based off the language you speak. And it's a challenge. Like, you know, you're just talking with you, your mindset seems to be, I'll accept the challenge and, you know, I'll grow from it, and it's going to be difficult. And I feel a lot of people have that mindset that come to McGill, but it will make me stronger. Like, by no means did I have great high school grades, and, you know, I got in and I was like, you know, these kids are very smart, but you see the guys on your team studying before games, and you're in an environment that makes you work that much harder to get to the level that all these kids were when they were in high school. So I don't know how your grades were in high school, but...
And I did my cégep too, like in Quebec, so that prepared me a bit, but still it was in French, and just coming to McGill, such a good school, like quality students, and you have to be... Yeah, you have to do your best, you know, and try hard, study hard, you know. And no, for sure, the overall environment, you see all the boys studying, it helps, you know.
Yeah.
You have guys to ask questions and just to motivate you a bit to do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you decided to major in physical education, right?
Yeah.
And what was your thought process behind that? Do you want to pursue something in that, or why did you choose phys ed?
I've always loved sports, so that was the first part. And I'd say I coach a lot during the summer. I'm still coaching kids during the summer, so I really enjoy it. So that was a big part of my decision. And my dream job is actually like to teach physical and health education in a cégep, and maybe coach a cégep team too. Like I played collegial hockey, so that would be awesome. And I really enjoyed overall like physical activity, you know,
and
health
teaching
things.
Yeah, kids, teaching like the one kids. I talked about Florida, we had a great discussion about that of teaching kids, and that satisfaction of, you know, seeing the improvement immediately after you've taught them something, right? So no, I'm sure that's why, one of the reasons probably you're into that, and that's sure. awesome. And you know, maybe coaching, where we tie in English speaking, there's going to be more opportunities. The exactly. more you learn your English, you'll have more opportunities for coaching, and the jobs will become, you know, endless. Yeah. The opportunities, right? Bilingual, it's such a great trait to have in on a resume for anywhere.
For sure, exactly. So that was a big, big part of my decision coming to McGill.
And also we talked about last year and whatnot, and this year you're actually on the ice playing and playing in games. You know, we're not just practicing or hanging out with the guys. So what has been the adjustment for you in terms of the hockey aspect? What have you noticed, and was it exactly what you expected? Tougher, different? What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say I knew what to expect in terms of level of hockey, because I knew that in U sports there's a lot of good players. I did my homework the year before. I went to see a couple games, so I knew what to expect. But I'd say it's obviously the guys are bigger and stronger. That's probably the biggest thing. Like they're older. Like it's not junior anymore. Like you're going to the corner. It's a 25 years old guys. Yeah. And so you have to be able to battle with them. But once you're in, and you just keep improving, and you're building your way up to their level. And for me, the speed aspect, it's one of my strengths. So
yeah, you're a fast player.
Yeah. So that was I think that really helped me to adjust well. But the thing is, in the youth sports too, you don't have that many games.
Right.
So you don't have, let's say, 10 games to adjust before being at the right level. You have to be there at the beginning of the year. We played only 9 games so far, so you have to be do your best at each game for sure.
Yeah, and how many games do you guys have left? What is it, 4 regular season games, right? If it presumes, I think someone was saying that they're not going to replay the other games. Like, it's just going to go straight into what the remainder of the season would be.
Mm-hmm. It's not like clear or official right now, but yeah, for sure.
But still, it's a short season. So every weekend it matters. And I remember when I was playing, you'd get to October and you'd say, or end of November, you'd be like, we just started regular season and our season's half over. Or you come back from Christmas, okay, we have 5 games left before playoffs, nationals, and then it's exam season, right? So that was a difficult adjustment, just how quickly it goes by and how meaningful each game is. So now that you're here and you realize what the culture is all about, why do you think the school is so special to you, and maybe how did you sell your brother on why McGill essentially?
Mm-hmm. I think being part of this program, you can improve as a hockey player. You see guys like Nick Brouillard, who went to the AHL after LP Guindon.
Yeah, he's playing tonight. Yeah, I was going to announce it on
tonight?
The podcast.
Yeah,
so he was, sorry to cut you off, but he was my old roommate. And so last night he got called up to Laval Rocket.
Yeah.
But basically, because all the Habs goalies are out. So I was telling Chrissy, my girlfriend, that Carey Price is out, Jake Allen is out. So the AHL goalies are now up in the NHL. So now LP has got called up from the East Coast to the AHL. So last night the Laval team got shelled for 6 goals. He went in, made 9 saves. So he's supposed to start tonight, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, so he kind of grinded his way through the East Coast Hockey League, and now he's playing in his he's starting in an AHL game, which I think is crazy. So
for sure
the hockey aspect of getting it to the next level, there's not enough recognition, but it's happening so much more now than it was, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the guys are they have their degree, so there's less pressure on them. They can give it a try to play pro hockey, and if not, the other aspect of, and the other part of going to McGill is for sure the school part, the quality of education. You know, it's well recognized all over the world, I think, McGill, and after it's easy, just you're a good example. You got a good job right after your years at McGill, so McGill's gonna give you some opportunities that you can't really plan before, you know, being in it.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
And the alumni too, like it, I mean, even with this podcast, it's cool. I get to meet, you know, all the players on the team and talk about stuff like this and what their career goals are. And it's going to just create connections that will help you later on, right? So like, yeah. I think McGill has one of the hockey team, especially, is one of the best alumni networks there is, right? So maybe after post McGill, the stress of trying to meet someone or get a recruit, like a job opportunity, there's less stress on that. So if you go play pro, you know,
yeah,
you have an opportunity for people that are going to help you right away.
No, exactly. And like you said, the alumni thing is probably what makes McGill like the most special place to play and go to school, because it's so easy and you really feel that you can ask questions to the older guys, even the guys that you don't necessarily play with. I met like guys like Jan Kaminski,
yeah,
you know, at the park during the summer, and, yeah, and it's just, it's special. You have the chance to learn from all these guys, and I think even this podcast, like having the chance to listen to older guys that went to the program, listen to their stories and how they, you know, they made their way to even like their career in hockey or after their professional experience after.
Mm-hmm. And so now you're going to do 4 years or what's your plan for the education program? Because you did do CJEP, so I know it's kind of different for the guys that did CJEP, right? So is next year your last year, or are you going to have 2 more years, or what are you planning on doing?
Yeah, so because I did my CJEP, the physical and health education program at McGill is 4 years,
mm-hmm,
still. So I have 2 more years to play and finish my degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be able to play if I want 2 more years after that. So I'm looking to maybe, like, I'm really interested in the like sports psych aspect, the sports psych aspect. I know Eric, our coach, did his master's with Dr. Bloom.
Yeah, that's Chrissy, my girlfriend. Yeah.
I knew that too.
Hers is Dr. Bloom, so they can help you out.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's a great program.
Yeah, it would help me for sure for what I want to do after, like coaching and teaching and all those aspects of sports psych. It's a passion for me. I really like that stuff. So I'm looking to maybe, it's not sure yet. It's, you know, I'm still in advance, but I'm looking to maybe pursue my graduate studies after.
Yeah, I could tell just by the way you talk about it and the enthusiasm you have when you discuss, you know, this pursuing post undergrad, right? So yeah. I could see you doing that for sure, and
yeah,
you get to spend more time with your brother who's going to be on the team.
Exactly.
Make sure he's following in your footsteps and whatnot. So we'll make the last little bit a bit lighter about this, but this was a great discussion. So before we get into the rapid fire aspect, maybe one thing I want to know is, what's something fun about you that most people wouldn't know? So we just met, I mean, we know each other, but we don't know each other that well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe tell the people that are listening, because there's so many listening, right? That something fun about yourself.
I don't know. I'd say like the funniest part about me is probably my agenda. Like, it seems weird, but I literally wrote everything in that agenda. Like, I just, it's crazy. All my family members are laughing at it.
I'm so like, what do you mean, elaborate, like on the agenda? So you write down your plan for each day of what you're gonna,
like,
do?
I'm that guy, like the to-do list guy. And
I have that exactly. Yeah. That's funny. I read a book in university. It was like how to get straight A's in college, you know, the classic book. But what they talked about was planning your day out, and you know, people don't necessarily ask you to hang out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? So just dial in, and then at night you can go do the social activities, go out with the guys, like, those are the fun experiences. But if you don't get your stuff during the day, done during the day, and write it out and what you have to accomplish, you know, you have to sacrifice those nights that are some of the most fun, right?
No.
So I'm sure you have the same kind of mindset.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And I really enjoy my nights and my, you know, social activities most after I did the stuff I had to do during the day. So I think it's... And it's really a big part of going to McGill. Like, you do your stuff, schoolwork, hockey during the day. After, you have the chance to be with like such a good group of guys. So we have some fun for sure. But Yeah, my agenda, it's almost like I wrote to brush my teeth at night, you know, it's it's everything. Everything's
that's
in
there. That's good though. You're more likely to accomplish it. Are you living with the guys this year, or which guys are you, who's your roommate?
No, this year I'm actually living by myself because I knew the plan was to live with
have
my brother.
Your brother. Yeah, that makes
next
sense,
year.
Right?
So we're going to move to like a 2 bedrooms next year in the same building. So so that would be perfect, but it's I'm really close to every
that's good.
Like everyone. So close to Pear, you know, Poirier in our team, the 4, 5, 6 guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Close to the
it's nice
40,
having your own place.
Two.
I mean, we're in my place now, and just I loved it at, across the street. But I think now working from home, I kind of needed a little bit of a different environment, and it's a little bit. We're on different schedules now that I'm not on the hockey team. Right, they have games at night. I'd have to work during the day when they're just chilling before practice. So it's a little bit different, but that's going to be exciting. And as long as you're kind of near the guys, you can still have the experience and you don't have to clean up as much, right? So
no, exactly.
They're that's hosting, perfect. They can do the cleanups, but you can still enjoy all the fun. So I guess we'll finish off with the rapid fire questions. So just bang them out. There's 7 of them.
Yep.
So if you could be a pro athlete in any other sport besides hockey, what would it be?
I'd say a basketball player, big Kobe fan over here.
Okay. If you had to sing one song for karaoke, what song would that be?
If I have to sing a French song, it's going to be some, like a song from Bob Bissonnette.
Okay.
Or English. I had a couple great performances of singing Praying by Kesha. I know my Quebec friends are going to love that one. So yeah,
okay.
Praying by Kesha.
Oh, Praying by Kesha. Okay, they'll love that. And then what's your favorite NHL team? Is it the Habs or is it someone else?
Oh, no, it's not the Habs. Oh. My family's from Quebec City, so they were Nordiques fan.
Yeah.
For me, it's the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, yeah?
I grew up in Gatineau, so close to Ottawa.
I grew up a Senators fan too, and I'm from Toronto, but my uncle's from Ottawa, and there's just was joy in watching the Leafs suffer for so many years. So I would kind of, you know, stay with him, and we loved the Senators when they were good and did that Stanley Cup run, and the Leafs, you know, they miss the playoffs or they suck again. So I've always had pleasure of watching the Leafs suffer for now 50 years. So I was a Suns fan too. Now they're struggling a bit, but
they had some good years.
Yeah, they did. But with the Super Bowl coming up, I mean, there's 4 teams left. Who do you think is going to win?
I'll go with the Chiefs. We know how Pat Mahomes playing right now, but I'm not watching, like, I'm not that of a big football fan.
Okay.
I know you are, I'm interested in what's your pick for
that? I don't know. I think I would love to see the Rams, but I think I'm right with you. I think the Chiefs are too good. But we'll see. It's been exciting. Last weekend was very exciting. So we'll see. Any team that – it's always nice to see someone that's never won before, right?
Of course, yeah.
Have that – same with hockey, right? You see guys that hoist the Stanley Cup that have been trying for – 20 years or 15 years and they finally get that opportunity. Same with NFL, like these guys that you put so much effort in, and that's what I think is exciting about sports is the hardships that you have to then get to this pinnacle in your sport is exciting to watch, right?
No, exactly.
I guess you talked about it a bit, but are you more of a morning person or night owl?
Oh, morning.
Yeah?
Morning
what time person. Do you get up?
Usually 7 o'clock.
Okay, that's pretty good though. With hockey, it's tough to go to bed, you know, early.
Exactly. So I feel like 7 is a
that's a good time to get up. Once you're done hockey, you'll probably get up early like me, because you don't have to stay up till 9 p.m. or like 10 p.m. and then try and fall asleep because you're all hyped up from the game. You know, what did I do? What didn't I do? I always would get in those mind pretzels after the games. What was the first concert you ever went to?
I've never actually been to an actual, like, a real concert.
Yeah.
But my first, like, music festival was Escapade.
Okay.
Really enjoyed Martin Garrix.
He's good. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. So that was a special show.
We went to Martin Garrix with Blake and Kramer and a couple guys at Beach Club.
Yeah.
But I don't remember too much from that concert. I think I was in the, you know, they have that little pool in the back.
Yeah.
I was chilling there with my sunglasses on, just loving life at that concert.
Having a good time.
Having a great time. But I kept asking the guys, when's Martin Garrix coming on? And he was, had been playing for half an hour. I just had, I had no idea. I was just loving the sun and seeing my buddies and stuff. Well, that was a fun concert. But yeah, he's good. He's good for sure. Uh-huh. And then the last one, last question I have, it's a little bit more elaborative, but what if you could give one piece of advice for incoming recruits, what would it be?
Yeah, I'd say like be a sponge. Try to like ask questions, learn from everyone, the coaches, the like your teachers at school, but also your teammates. Like I said, like everyone's in different fields, they have different ambitions. So it's fun to see and learn from all the guys, even the younger guys sometimes, like mm-hmm. the first year, this year, they can bring something to your own person and you can grow from that. And that's the, like, yeah, if you want to really get the most out of your experience at McGill, be a sponge, ask questions, like learn from everyone. And I'm going to add to, especially with the like COVID years,
yeah,
like I only had the chance to play 9 games yet. So enjoy every moment. Yeah. I know all the alumni guys said like they said that too, but enjoy every moment because it really goes by fast. I'm yeah. already in my second
you're already year. Almost halfway done.
Halfway done.
Halfway it's done crazy. Of your undergrad and you've played 9 games, right?
So. Yeah, like I feel like it's not like a long time ago that I was a first year just
yeah.
coming into McGill, learning all that stuff. So enjoy every moment, be a sponge, and you'll have a great experience at McGill for sure.
All right, that's it. So that was awesome. What a great answer, and quite a few great answers. So definitely I learned from speaking with you. So thanks for coming on, Alex, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much, Quinn. It was a pleasure to be here.
Huge thank you goes out to Alex for coming on this week's episode. Very interesting guy and someone I really enjoyed talking to. And also someone I didn't really know too well. We did spend a year together last year, but because of COVID and without having practices or games against other teams, we didn't really get to know each other too well. So really great to kind of formally sit down, talk, get to know each other. And I thought he did a great job sharing his story for all of you. And also huge congratulations to you and your family who are going to have 2 kids at McGill next year playing on the men's hockey team. I'm sure it's pretty safe to say who your mentee will be next year, but very exciting to you and your family to have your brother commit to McGill. So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you for listening. Hope everyone has a great week, and as always, keep your elbows up and stick on the ice.